Resurrection takes practice. It was a number of years ago when a group of French students came to stay with the students of Summit County during spring break to learn how Americans lived. Since our daughter was in French class, we received one young woman named Estelle, who came to stay with us, and it was spring break, which happened also to be Holy Week that year. So Estelle went to all the services along with our family. I asked her if she was a Christian, and her response to me was, as she translated in her French, she said, "Well," she said, "we are baptized Christian," she said, "but we aren't practicing. We aren't practicing." And that phrase struck with me. Does it take practice to live faith? You bet it does. And really, most of the time, we're out of practice. We might like to think that faith is all in our heads or our hearts. But from the first moments of awareness, Jesus' living presence becomes part of the hands and the feet and the voices of the followers. Mary sees him in the garden at the time when she comes to face death. Instead, she sees life. What does she do? She uses her feet to run, and she uses her mouth to tell. Thomas experiences Jesus in the locked room, and he opens his hands to share peace. Peter, James, and John share food with him on the beach, as do the friends walking to Emmaus. On the road to Emmaus, and from then on, they gather in the breaking of the bread. And from then on, these things become practices of the church. To listen and give testimony, to share the passing of the peace, to share in a meal together, a meal where Jesus is present. In fact, if we think about it and observe everything in our Sunday liturgy, we can see that liturgy, the work of the people, is actually practicing resurrection. We are gathered together. We are sent out as Jesus sends us. We listen to the word of life in our midst. We respond. We share communion. These practices are all born out of resurrection faith. And today I would like to talk about the sharing of the peace. Because our gospel today speaks of peace, Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you," at least three different times. When he comes to that locked room, the disciples have been gathered in fear and trembling. What does he do but come with word of peace? Now, because we often use this word peace in our language to mean calm and quiet, such as "give me some peace and quiet," we say, we might see or understand him as calming them down at a time of great fear when they're living behind locked doors. And perhaps there's an element of this as he says these words. But when he says peace, he is speaking more about relationship and connection. It is more even than hello. It's more than a greeting. I asked a colleague this week who translates the Greek of the text, and I said, how would you translate this word peace into other language? What's the closest translation? She read it and she said, I think it is harmony. Jesus is coming into the room and saying, may harmony be with you. How apropos this Friday night, I went to hear an a cappella group at Augustana Church. They were called the Queen's Eight, and they're the Queen's Six. Two, four, six. There's a Queen's Six, excuse me. They sing in Windsor Castle. They're for the Queen and for others in that midst. They are six men, two tenors, two basses, and two altos. And they sang for us for a couple of hours, a deep, resonant harmony. A harmony that came after years and years of practice. These men, I assume, were boys who sang in choirs in England that sing a cappella harmony. Now, you see, what struck me is that harmony is different than unison. When you sing in unison, you all sing on the same note. But when you sing in harmony, you sing at different levels. The distinctiveness of the voices and the sounds come through. But they are blended and enhanced because they sing together. Sometimes on Friday night, for example, the bass would take the lead and would sing the main verses of the song, but the others would join in refrain, enhancing and deepening the sound of resonance because of their varied voices of high and low, the ranges that expanded wide and deep. Sometimes a tenor would sing with an alto, and the two of them together would make an entirely different sound. We all listened and responded with a kind of awe. Ah! Because the sounds of harmony speak somehow to our inner selves. They resonate with something in us. So when I hear that peace is like people singing in harmony, all voices blending in a sound that is beautiful and deeply, deeply satisfying. When Jesus meets people in these upper room gatherings, there are an assortment of people and emotions. There must be basses there, and tenors, and altos, and sopranos. But there are folks who deserted Jesus, people who denied him, people who watched him die at a distance. There are folks who saw the empty tomb. Some believed and some were confused. There is fear. The doors are locked fast. There has been joy and testimony, but also skepticism of Thomas, because he hasn't seen what they have seen. He hasn't experienced what they have experienced. So when Jesus comes into this room with this assortment of voices and emotions and experiences and says, peace be with you, he is saying, let my voice be one of you, part of your harmony. Let me sing with you that we make harmony together. He's telling them that the resurrection community of which we are a part is more important than the sum of its parts. In other words, the song that we sing, all of us, bound together, makes music for the world to hear. All of these distinctive and diverse people are bound together in peace, in the peace of a Jesus who shares his voice freely to connect and unite with us. Peacemaking is a way of beginning a relationship and also a way of sustaining relationships by mending them in love and justice. Peacemaking is a way of reconciling with enemies as well as getting to know strangers. And he's not only telling them, but he's showing them that peacemaking is central to resurrected life. To share the peace is to practice Easter over and over again. It is to bring resurrection alive in our lives, in our community, and in the world. Some of you may remember the old days of Lutheran worship when we did not share or pass the peace. I remember the transition to when we did because it was the beginning of my ordained time, beginning of the time when the Lutheran Book of Worship came out. And they instituted at the Book of Worship the passing of the peace in worship. Now, up to that point, the emphasis had been that the altar was moved to the back of the room. The pastor would stand and face the altar and not face the congregation, and that the worship was very much geared to us and God. We talked directly to God, but it was a vertical relationship. When the passing of the peace was instituted, people had to turn and shake hands with the person next to them, or go around and see someone who was behind them. And this caused great fear and trembling and a lot of trepidation. But we got used to it, didn't we? A little bit. And we started to learn to greet each other. We learned not only to see God as up there, but God has connected coming through here. The reason for this change was that liturgical people went back to the first century and looked at worship practices and realized that the passing of the peace was a practice that had been lost and was part of resurrected life. Now, 30 years later, we've become friendlier, perhaps. But the passing of the peace has become a greeting, a hello, how are you doing? And we're in danger of forgetting the power of peace to connect with the stranger, to welcome the outcast, to forgive someone with whom you're angry. We forget the power of peace to become a community of the resurrection, a people of harmony. Jesus gathers people who wouldn't be together otherwise. And sharing peace is a way to practice. To practice letting go of fear of our neighbor, practice letting go of the fear of relationship and connection that we all bear within us. The passing of the peace is a beginning way to build trust and new connection. And we practice it here in order that we may be sent to the world to practice peace. Perhaps we don't need to say the exact words, but we can share peace and harmony with the cashier at the store, the homeless person on the sidewalk, the person who cuts us off on the highway, or the relative who's been really difficult to deal with. And then you see God's peace and harmony goes out into the world. For this is the way God meets us and gathers us, as well as the way God sends us out. Peace be with you, says our resurrected Lord Jesus. He proclaims it. He creates it. He enters it with his voice, his hands, his feet, his body. Let's sing it and keep practicing. Thanks be to God.